Seven decades of great music, Z103.com. Time for episode number 22 of The Basics of Economic Development. And here he is, Mark Wickersham.
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
Hey, good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity again. And late summer show with Labor Day quickly approaching, I wanted to spend a few minutes today reflecting on our employment and unemployment circumstances in Huntington County. I think it's a very appropriate time of year to do that and to reflect on the historical context of the idea itself of work and labor, and also to discuss the contemporary system for how the state of Indiana reports unemployment data. I mean, and again, keep in mind, don't forget, this is the basics of economic development, not economic development at the 400 level, if you will. This is not advanced economic development. This is basic.
I got it, but it's a good review.
Good review.
And it helps us understand more about what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, in my work at HQ, among the things I've learned over the years is the importance of the basics and remembering that we're all in this economy and society together, regardless of our job, regardless of our profession or circumstances as they might be. As a teacher once told me, it's also laborious to be a teacher. It's work to be a lawyer, a medical professional, or a banker, or a factory worker, farm worker, street sweeper. I mean, we go on vacation at a community where there aren't any automobiles allowed, and so horses are the primary mode of moving freight and moving large numbers of people. So the street sweeper is really important in horse culture. But owning and operating a successful business is also sometimes every bit as challenging. And so, what I'm saying is that at the beginning here is that we all benefit from the work that we're all doing, and we need each other, and we're all trying to find our own way as we work through the ideas of finding a job, finding a career, whether we're going to own a business or not. And I always, I mentioned earlier the horse culture. I always enjoy watching Mike Rowe's TV show Dirty Jobs. There just are so many unsung heroes and doing jobs every day that bring them satisfaction and financial reward that a lot of us wouldn't even consider doing, but honestly, we couldn't survive without. So to those unsung heroes in our culture and society, my heartfelt thanks. So why do we want to work in the first place? Authors and theologians have written volumes in an attempt to answer that basic question. Obviously, I'm not either one, so I'm going to, again, stick to the basics. And basic number one is that nearly all of the world's major religions, regardless, count among their foundational tenets the idea of the societal need for work, and they discuss honorable employer-employee relationships, and the fact that labor, the process of working itself, is absolutely of critical importance to any society and a very honorable human activity. Secular authors have referenced the list of like six reasons why they believe people work: to find purpose in life, to find individual self-fulfillment and potential, to manage, frankly, emotional pressures, economic pressures, obviously, inertia, and frankly, to have fun in many respects. We all recognize the basic, we have a basic need for food, basic need for shelter, so we have to pay rent or pay a mortgage. We want to have fun with our friends and family. So, in one sense, all of those things combined, we can argue, create and lead to the freedom and independence and financial sufficiency, self-sufficiency that go hand in hand in our culture and in the United States, and the good fortune we have in being able to enjoy those opportunities that life's presented. There's an author called named Jim Clifton who wrote a book a couple years ago called The Coming Jobs War, and he touches on that particular argument and points out that money isn't the only reason that people work. Working can also give you more independence, more control over the life that you're living. The concern that I have and that others share in our contemporary society is there seems to be a trend that, contrary to Jim Clifton's theme of people really wanting a job and that we're going to have conflicts, in essence, if there aren't enough jobs, I'm more concerned that there's a trend that people want basically the socioeconomic benefits that go along with having a job without having to do any work. Now, you'll hear a lot of folk commentators in society talk about the trend that people don't want to work. I don't necessarily share that in total. There are differences, obviously, and there are a number of people listening to my comments this morning that are just yelling at the radio right now saying, hey, wait a minute, I have trouble finding work, but I'm a good person and so forth. And I absolutely share that and agree with it. But this weekend in particular with Labor Day coming up, workers are going to be celebrating the culture of work itself. They're going to be celebrating how they relate to each other and their work environments. They are going to recognize the needs of people who don't find that as easy as others. But ultimately, we're happy that we live in a country that celebrates and honors work, if you will. Now, I want to also comment about the government's understanding and processing and our societal understanding of unemployment. And it starts with the idea that in our society, obviously, if you are laid off from a position, if you were working for an employer that paid unemployment insurance compensation programming, you go to the state and file to receive benefits while you're off work as a social safety net, if you will. It's important for us to remember that that is paid for by employers. Employers pay all of the cost of unemployment insurance, not the employees. And when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense because it's not the employees who are making the decision whether or not they're going to have a job available on any given day. It's the employer's decision. So there's a sense of duty and responsibility there that employers are taxed to cover those sorts of issues as they come up. But each month, the Indiana Department of Workforce Development, in cooperation with the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, releases estimates of employment, unemployment picture in the U.S. And governmental agencies report to the public that the unemployment rate is a key factor of the health and the economy of the labor market. And it should be, and we would think it should be calculated by dividing the number of unemployed people by the number of people who are in the overall labor force. It's important to remember and understand, however, that ultimately the question is, are we using this data to evaluate how the private sector is performing and workers are performing and benefiting, et cetera, or is there some other agenda for why this material is collected in the first place? And that's where the unemployment data and the overall public messaging sometimes gets confused. Because, like I say, most of us would like to think that the unemployment report is helpful to understanding how the economy is doing in Huntington County, for example. It does help a little bit, but it's important to understand the system. I mean, there are dozens of disclaimers that appear on each one of these reports as they're released from the government. For example, the Biden administration's Labor Department includes a disclaimer that says, the unemployment rate can help people understand how well the government is running the country and how the economy is performing as a result. Policymakers at the government can use the unemployment statistics to determine whether to take action to influence the economy or help those affected by unemployment. That's a little bit different than trying to understand how our local companies are doing. The Holcomb administration at the state of Indiana also has disclaimers, and they are using the same disclosures and disclaimers that previous governors have used. And in their case, it says, these estimates have been prepared in cooperation with the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and this is the key part, and have been adjusted to the current population survey by the U.S. Census Bureau for use in allocating federal funds. Let me say that again. So the unemployment report data is an estimate, and the state of Indiana and others use it to determine allocations of federal funds. So in essence, the higher your unemployment rate, the more federal dollars you're eligible for. Well, that's a different use of the data than what most of us would expect. And there are a number of estimates, there are computer algorithms, and the federal government does a sample poll, if you will, to figure out how to collect the data. Most of us would think these figures on unemployment would be the number of people collecting unemployment insurance divided by the number of people in the workforce, and that it would be used in essence to figure out to some extent how our private sector economy is doing. But to do this, every home in the country, in many respects, would have to be contacted, just like at the census, every 10 years. So the process would cost way too much money, take too long to produce the data to be relevant. And so people would soon grow tired of having a census taker, basically, contact them every month, year after year, to ask them job-related activities. So to make a long story short, we need to understand that the data is compiled based on computer estimates and modeling, with some polling taking place. If I went through all the details of the polling techniques, we're listening to this at 8 o'clock in the morning, you'd probably spit up your morning coffee, just more than likely. So we won't go into that many details. But for me, frankly, the most frustrating part is knowing that the government will not acknowledge a margin of error in their system or their estimates. I mean, for example, many of you who know me know that I've worked for two different members of Congress and a former governor, and we all kind of know that political candidates for public office hope that their polling data could be accurate to a margin of error of plus or minus 2%. Frankly, 3 to 4% is more common, but again, the elected officials also and their pollsters know how to phrase questions that generate particular answers and report it within a margin of error. Well, let's take a look at what's been reported for Huntington County for a second and get an idea of what a margin of error might mean if it was acknowledged at even 2%. So the July 2024 unemployment report says that there are 17,358 people employed who live in Huntington County. 2% would be 347 people, either direction. Well, that's the equivalent number of people employed by Novate Corporation in Markle, basically our third largest employer. So it'd be like missing our third largest employer in the data. It's not insignificant, and it's really difficult to get a poll that has even a 2% accuracy level. So since the government won't admit what their margin of error really is, and the 2% creates a really misleading result in Huntington County, it's not any wonder why a lot of people are skeptical about the labor data. The same report, by the way, claims that 578 more people live in Huntington County now in July than in June. I mean, we all know 578 people did not move into Huntington County in the last 30 days. There's just no way. Or maybe that's why we have a housing shortage, I don't know. But the data is showing what it does because it's based on a computer algorithm and estimates. It's not, there's no way that's an accurate reflection. So again, That same report in July says our unemployment rate jumped from 4.1% in June to 6.7% in July, putting us, in June we were the 49th highest out of 92 counties in the state, and suddenly we're the third highest in the 92 counties in the state. So what happened? Well, there haven't been any what are called WARN notices, which are the announcements officially informing the government that a company's closing. So how do we evaluate this? Well, the data is based on county of residence, not county of employment. The reporting period is always from the 11th day of the prior month to the 10th day of the current month. And as we know, Huntington County residents commute back and forth to work in other counties. So there are some 400 to 500 people who live in Huntington County who, for example, who are employed at Fort Wayne's General Motors Assembly Plant. Well, the GM plant extended their July 4th holiday, basically creating a temporary plant shutdown during the reporting period. And those workers were counted in the estimates of those unemployed, which in one issue accounts for our unemployment rate jumping that high. So it's really interesting to follow and understand and trying to understand the data and understand what's going on. So what we conclude is that we need to also look at the number of job openings. And the job openings in our county, I look at Indeed.com, which is the nation's largest job posting site online. That source lists over 200 immediate job openings within 10 miles of downtown Huntington. In fact, if you look within a 25-mile radius of downtown Huntington, there are over 4,000 jobs available. So the conclusion is that the unemployment report is comprised of imperfect estimates, which often are used for political purposes, not the bottom line. And there are jobs available, but paychecks and vocations are different. I get that. There's a difference between a career versus I've got a job that pays my bills. But we have a strong jobs market nonetheless. And wrapping up for our Labor Day message, I just want to again thank our employers for doing what they do and our workers for being there. And we're doing our best to help those who are not employed find opportunities.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. We appreciate you showing up this morning with another great program.
Glad to do it. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's get back into the music. On the Z.